So welcome to the final session. In some ways, it's been a wonderfully revealing exploration into reality. And in other ways, it has been an outpouring of emotion and revelations. And all of that is happening again from this state of the fact that we're already doing this. We're already the awakened self. As I said, I just want to start, before we go into the satsang, I just want to go into resetting back to factory settings. You know, we are already awakening. We are already unfolding. So, okay. So we'll start with, we've got three hands up. We'll go into that. So whenever we're ready, sorry, I can't. One second. Do you want to come and read the question then, Sergio? So there we go.
Right. How to maintain the aliveness of the inquiry as well as how to overcome the dull interest in life? Sergio's question.
Okay. So, thank you. I'm not very good at picking things out of the chat box because of the dyslexia. It kind of all jumps around. So how to maintain the alertness of the inquiry rather than the dulness. It's really by habit, by anything that we achieve is habit as a human being. Really, we're defined by our habits and coming back to the inquiry habitually is going to really begin to open it up for us. So recognizing that if I don't consciously set a time to do this kind of inquiry that we've been doing today, that I'm going to forget about it, or I'll get caught up in the minutiae of what's happening right now, as we've been seeing, what's going on for me right now that I don't want, it's going to pull my attention more. So for me, and I still do this now, I have a set time of day where I do some, it could be that I just read something, it could be that I just sit quietly, it could be that I do some inquiry or contemplation happens. And it also happens at later points during the day, but habit, habit, habit. Creating a habit and sustaining it until it's going by itself. And with any habit like this, as we experience with the inquiry, the people that did it live on the session all began to experience some quite positive emotions, opening, that kind of thing. So you want to kind of push the habit long enough that your body gets used to feeling these positive emotions, these higher states of consciousness that begin to come naturally from the inquiry. And because of that, something inside is going to, we all the examples today that we experience some resistance to doing it. So recognizing that that's going on with all of us, there'll be something that would rather go somewhere else and remain on the surface of this moment. And so recognizing that, setting a time regularly when you can do this is absolutely key. I still, like I said, sit with my cup of tea in the morning. When it's warm enough, I'll sit out the back and watch the sun come up over the back fence, or I'll sit in here if it's, you know, cool, and I'll sit with my tea. And that's my kind of time, where it's my time, I do my spiritual work. It's obviously still got ongoing anywhere else, but if I have a schedule or a pattern, it's going to be harder for me to avoid that and to kind of drift away from it. Knowing that at first it is going to feel, there's going to be resistance to it. It's going to feel, I don't need to do that today. But if I am a creature of my habits, and my habits are coming out of my level of consciousness, and I really want to begin to associate my practice with positive feelings, opening, joy, relaxation. Just noticing when I do this, my body feels better. And the more days in a row I can do this, then the better my body's going to feel. So as soon as I go into any kind of open inquiry now, I can, my whole system gets kind of flooded with some very positive stuff, you know, that people would spend a lot of money to experience, you know, but it's now a habit that's built so that I can't not do it. So just, can you create some kind of time to do this regularly? And if you're not feeling a kind of that pull to do it, recognizing that that is normal and natural. We've all been taught that it's safer to skate along the surface of this moment, experiencing what I think about it, than actually what's going on. That going into the actual experience is a bad idea, says mind, because it doesn't protect me. I can't keep my defenses up then, says mind, says ego. So knowing that, then we're going to be able to kind of go around it and say, that's okay, but I don't want to keep experiencing my life, all of this, myself, from this kind of very shallow perspective of thoughts and emotions. I'd like to actually experience directly. And just allowing yourself to enjoy that, connecting that with the way the body relaxes and how good it feels. Really, all we're doing is changing the chemicals that are going around the brain from the fight or flight to the everything's really okay chemicals, neurochemicals. And then the body responds in kind. It goes from this tightness and tension into this relaxation. So it's normal. It's normal. It's normal. However, we might have to just push a little bit and get online with your buddies when you can. If you can only get online once a week with one person, have seven different buddies that you can get on with at different times, or several where they're in different time zones as well. They can help each other. And hopefully that helps. But if you need more detail on that, do ask. So,
but it's just like I feel that I've been in a tsunami of emotions. Sorry, I can't speak.
It's okay. Can you just take a moment here with me, okay? And recognizing that this is the defense mechanism happening here. We can release it, can't we? Yeah. You're totally loved. You are totally, totally safe. And this is happening now so that we can love and embrace you. Take us every time you need it. It's okay.
I guess it's because I feel shame of seeing you. Other people seeing me crying. I don't know. I just.
And yet, from our perspective, it's so wonderfully brave and authentic and courageous. I'm not saying for a moment you feel that way right now, but, you know, it's a normal human thing, isn't it, to cry? And yet we've had this conditioning that it's not a good thing. You know,
thank you, Ellen.
You're very welcome. Just being here with us and letting this out is huge, isn't it? Here's another barrier where I close myself in a little box so that I don't have to feel this emotion. And here you are feeling it anyway, even though it's not that pleasant. Hopefully you're also feeling the love that's coming from all of us right now. Maybe less than the emotion, but still.
It's like, I feel like if a volcano wants to explode inside of me with all these emotions, but yeah. I don't have the enough opening to let it go.
And maybe it'll explode bit by bit like this. And for me, it was too big for me to feel it all at once. I had to do it like this in stages, so to speak, you know. We've had so many experiences of life not being what we wanted to, of ourself not being what we'd want ourselves to be, you know, and so many doubts and little hurts that there's this kind of reservoir within each of us of hurt, of kind of, and one of the most natural things to do is to allow this emotion, and yet we have this conditioning that showing any emotion at all to excess is not a good thing, you know. but it becomes like a pressure cooker eventually where you just have to let some out. And I'm so glad you did. So glad.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Are you feeling also, a little calmer now? A little calmer, maybe?
Yeah. Yes, I feel a bit lighter.
Good.
On the silent meditation, there was something that happened. I don't know what happened, but you said that at the end there was something that happened. I felt, well, it was a very deep experience. I don't know what to call it. I don't know, I was just floating like a golden rocking chair, something like that.
And that may be why this emotion's coming up now, because there's some letting go, some relaxing and not holding on so tightly. Our body, our mind has been taught to kind of condition to, you know, like this, whether we realize it or not, you know, this kind of, I've got to hold it all together, and some opening or some deepening, and then something can release that's no longer needed, which is what's happening here with this feeling, isn't it? It's really just seeing those places we hold ourselves back. Can I do this anyway, just a little bit? And you've been so brave here to share anyway. You know, it's just amazing. I'm always amazed by the courage of people sharing, you know, how we, that's why it's so wonderful we have this family, this safe place to let these things out. Each one of us has shame inside and probably some self-hatred and unworthiness and all of that, don't we? Yeah. But it's just as natural as breathing, isn't it? Feeling an emotion, allowing the emotion. And if for some reason we tend to think otherwise. This is the natural state. How would the silence be with this emotion? It would just embrace it and feel it as much as it could. You know? It would embrace right. It. And also embrace the resistance to doing it too.
As well, yeah.
Because it's happening, because it's coming up, that means the silence is really in charge anyway. You know? You would have, you know, as a person, perhaps you would have just like, I can't go there. I'm not going there. You know, without realizing, of course. So good. So brave.
Thank you. Thank you, Ellen, and to all as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Lovely. Okay. Caroline's next.
We love you, Sergio.
We do. We do.
There's resistance again. I've started coughing now.
Let's just not crash the Zoom meeting again with our resistance, all of us. Yeah, let's not do that.
So, I don't know. I'm trying to formulate a question. I've given up. I can't, like, mind. I can't use mind to look into this. But it's about doubt again. It's still playing, Helen. It's, I don't know, I don't really know what it's about. It's just keeps popping up, it keeps coming up. And I wanted to ask you really what your understanding on your journey of doubt was.
Wow, that's a big question.
It is, and I don't want to put you on the spot.
But you're really, going to do it anyway.
I don't know why I need to protect you even. Yeah. It's this bit saying, don't do that. You've had a long day, leave your room. And then there's a bit asking anyway.
Yeah.
It's more about me needing to know. It's not about me somehow. It is, but it isn't. But there's a need to ask you what, as a teacher, what you made of doubt, because it's a first for me.
Are you asking about?
I don't know what I'm asking, Helen.
Okay.
I can't even help you.
Okay. I'll wing it, see where we go.
I want to know, there's something playing out. It seems quite important, this doubt thing. Like it's part of it all. It's part of the self, the exploration of itself, experiencing it through Caroline. And I wondered what Helen made of it. in your journey?
Mostly I just ran away as fast as I could from doubt at first. And somebody expressed it very well in one of the GP homeworks that we read last week. Was it? It's kind of all rolls into one about, and I'm paraphrasing, but I've come so far, I've had this scene, I can't find any edges to my being. And then you said something in a recording and suddenly there was this doubt that I've even seen what I've seen, and, you know, something like that. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to that or what, but
I have, but I don't remember that one.
I see. There's somebody, resistance at work there. Yeah. So it was very much like that for me. Every time I felt like I'd deepened in a seeing or come to some deeper understanding, released something, or like Sergio was just saying, had some opening, there was this thing that came up to, well, at first it seemed like a criticism, a self-criticism mechanism. You don't know that. You haven't really seen that, you know, some kind of thing like that. And it went on for a very long time, felt like an eternity, until I began to realize the correlation was what the doubt was just in alignment with what I'd just seen. So if I saw myself to be the emptiness clearer than I've ever seen it before, mind would kind of go, you don't know that. You know, you're making it up or something, or you can't really know that you don't die until you die. You know, you can't really know it now. Some commentary along that. And I actually began to just one day be so sick of it that I actually turned around and thought, all right, well, let's see if we can know it then. And that was combined with a deeper understanding of how mind works, and that mind feels true. It feels correct in saying you can't know that, you haven't really seen that, because it's talking to the person it thinks you are. So there's this curiosity, can I know this? And then in that moment, there was a significant shift of beginning to embrace the doubts, never liking them, always wishing they would just go away. I'm going to say something else then, you know. So never liking the doubts, but suddenly realizing there might be something useful there for me. And then a deeper recognition that actually maybe my mind was helping me now to kind of confirm deeper. Well, have I actually seen this? Or am I kidding myself in this example? So there was it became my next contemplation question, whatever the doubt was, became my next contemplation question. Then it didn't feel, you know, how doubt feels when it comes up.
And that's it. You've just hit the nail on the head, because as soon as I started talking, I got upset. And I think it's because I didn't know this until I knew I needed to ask you. I don't know how I knew that. I just did. As soon as you started to explain that, I could feel the opening. And I think it's because I do have these massive experiences, and they're almost hard to believe. Like, I have a lot of them. The one I had yesterday was like, you know, I can't even talk about them sometimes. And I think then when mine comes in, God almighty, that can't be true. You must have made it up. And I didn't know I knew that. I didn't know I felt like that. But what you're saying is, I'm resonating with what you're saying. Like, I think it's quite, now I'm talking, I'm realising, it's quite hard to integrate it all sometimes.
Really?
It feels a bit like I'm dealing with my daughter she's on week 5 of not drinking and getting her life back together, which is wonderful. Brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Full on for you. She's
doing great, yeah. 5 weeks, getting her life back together, going to AA. I've been to AA with her, met all these wonderful people, and everything's going great. And in between all this, even at AA, I had this massive experience. I'm sat on this chair thinking, Jesus, I'm at AA. Sorry, I'm at AA. It's okay. Really emotional.
It's honest. It's difficult
for all these people, and I was upset. And in the middle of it, is this overwhelming? At spend time, I want to say, just can you just all stop talking? I need to lay on the floor again.
I'm just overwhelmed at long.
I need to lay on the floor.
But don't mind me, I'll be at the back of the room having a moment, yeah.
And Lucy said to me, how did you find that? And I thought, God, I can't even begin to tell you. Or I'm making a cup of tea, I'm walking down the supermarket, I'm at work, and they're just... And I've stopped talking about them. And I don't know, I think it's hard to integrate it all, Helen. Their mind jumps in.
So here's the doubt right here. Here's the belief that's popping up now. That you can't be something on the lines that you can't be so there for your daughter and still be here with this. You know, you can't. So something like that, isn't it? A variation on that theme.
I think it's the greatness of it, really. Are you all this? Are you this?
Yeah. And like, if we just look at that, the voice that asks that question is asking it because it really feels. It's never going to move beyond the doubt, is it, the mind that's asking that? Are you really, really, really? Can you just like sit on this chair and have this amazing life? You know, so it doesn't feel at all that it can, because it's looking, it's the ripples on the surface, and you are the vast depths of this ocean, aren't you, as well? So from its perspective, mind on the surface of here, it goes, really? This is, you know, just not... So just lovingly embracing that, saying thanks for my next contemplation point, and it's okay that you can't see this. You're not supposed to be able to. You know, sort of using that voice in a positive way, but also understanding at some point I might just have to, you know, once I've looked at it enough in contemplation, you know, every now and again my mind will still say, a thought pops up, very infrequently now, going, you're just making all of this up, you know, something like that. But now it's just, it's like a little comedian in my head, you know, rather than bringing this gut-wrenching feeling in it. Can you get a sense of it?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's just amazing. I wish I could talk about it more, and I just have shut up about it. They're so amazing, Helen. They're so. And it's like, who are you? You. But then there's that's all seen. It's all seen. There's only witnessing going on the whole time. And sometimes down the rabbit hole. But most times.
Remembering I am the field in which all of this amazing, even just on this, you know, this session, there's been a lot of tears and revelations of the whole day. Our whole life, you know, things that, you know, like you described this meeting and with all this brave. So just staying, I am the field. I'm showing up as all these different beautiful beings inside with all these experiences going on. And from that place, I can be with the intensity of the human experience, because that's sometimes it is extraordinarily intense, isn't it? And then I'm not going to get overwhelmed by it. But mind's job now is to kind of show you places you don't want to look at within your own consciousness, your own self. And of course, on this far along the pathway, we really don't want to look at the idea that we haven't really seen it, or we can't really live like this, or whatever it's saying in that, yeah.
Yeah, that's it, Helen. I know, I'm glad I went with it. I knew there was a reason I needed to talk to you. I knew you'd...
It's the one being speaking its doubts through one voice and nodding in every other head that's watching, isn't it, you know? So, and even expressing the answer now, only because I've been there and had to kind of embrace that.
Doubts, I'm very grateful for that.
Doubts for me were worse than negative emotions. I just didn't want to go there. You know, I was very good at feeling fear and stuff, you know, all these, you know, I was, but doubt really didn't want, you know, had to make friends with it.
It's the same, Helen, fear. I've looked at that. I knew it wasn't that. This is worse. It's in some way it's been bigger, but, go on.
I was just going to say what it comes down to in its most essential form, why it hurts so much is because I am the seeing, and here is a place I don't want to see. I'm kind of, and that's so unnatural to the self. that it really hurts, doesn't it? Emotionally, physically, sometimes, mentally. If there's some place inside myself that I don't want to look at, just out of old habit, that's all in it. But, and I recognize myself to be the seeing, the awareness, and there's something I don't want to be aware of. That's about as anti-self with a capital S as you can get, and you feel it immediately. What that feels like is some kind of immediate negative emotion and contraction in the body. That should always be a red flag that there's something I don't want to see here. Yeah. You might even never find out what it is that you don't want to see, but just, and it doesn't sometimes even matter. There's just something I'm turning away from is enough to cause a lot of, you can get in a real mess with it very quickly, but just realizing there's something I've turned away from, then what can I turn towards? Even that question was enough to release it. Release so many things, I don't even know what they were. I just knew something I didn't want to look at.
And gratitude for having a brilliant teacher that can show me that.
Thank you, thank you.
Because I've thought about that. I
mean, you're going to make me uncomfortable again now.
Well, no, I started with just a massive realisation and I had no idea what it was. And it's been with you and everybody else on this and being able to make sense of it all. I don't know how you did it. I certainly couldn't have done it without you. And still
no idea how it happened, to be honest. It just kind of stumbled along.
It just is so helpful to get the instruction and getting the point in and the understanding. And I knew when I asked you this question that you would know and that it would
help. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Yeah.
I'm very grateful, Helen. Very grateful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Patricia.
Okay.
Hi.
So hi again. My question is a bit related to what you just mentioned again today, like I am the field. So and how do we relate that to putting limits? I have difficulties in putting boundaries, clear boundaries, because it's kind of okay. So I remember that experiment you did, you know, with the water and the bowl of water with the different glasses, and so I can see the air very clear, but when I want to apply that to my life is like, okay, if I'm this infinite self and I'm the whole field, where do I end? Where does the other begin when we have to put limits in the smaller self? I get confused. If you could tell something about that, I would love to.
Absolutely.
For my understanding.
It was something I had to learn as well, because as a separate being, thinking I was a separate being, I had absolutely no ability to set any boundaries, as I'm sure that's a very common experience. I did a good impression of being a doormat, you know, that lots of people walked over. And it wasn't certain parts of awakening, the expression of that came naturally. Spontaneously, this wasn't one of those areas. It was feeling my way through certain relationships. Okay, I'm this other being. I love this being. I accept them. Doesn't mean I have to like them or the way that they're behaving or expressing themselves. So feeling your way through it with the recognition that I am the field comes an increased self confidence, a sense of being deserving of what you want in your life, and noticing where you feel some negative emotion or some contraction now might be where you're not treating yourself the way that you deserve to be treated. So it might be that you're allowing someone to say something to you that doesn't feel right or authentic anymore. It rubs up against this I am enough already feeling here, and it's not in alignment. Just out of an old way, we have these habitual ways of being in our relationships, don't we? So somebody might say something or put something on you to do that really isn't your job, or, you know, just some everyday examples. And we accept it. We say, yeah, okay. But this feeling happens inside of, you know. So when you feel that, for me, it was kind of like a fiery sensation or something like a little bit of anger came up, that this isn't right for me anymore. You know, some kind of, your body will let you know. And just the recognizing of that, actually, I really see that I deserve better than this. We're not making the other person wrong. We just don't want to keep doing that dance in that relationship. Can you get a sense of it? Like, you might notice situations in your life where you have this kind of response internally, and we tend to override it or ignore it, or just say that's some negative emotion. But there'd be this upsurge of energy, sort of life force energy came up. It felt a little bit like anger, but not really. That's the closest word. A kind of a very gentle but firm no. I don't really want that experience anymore. But not projecting onto the other person, just here's where I've allowed this being to do this to me. And I'm recognizing I don't want to anymore. So just getting quiet in those moments and seeing what's my body giving me. You know, I might say yes out of habit of wanting to people please or wanting people to like me, just an example. But my body might be telling me something very different in this moment. This no longer fits with me, this. That it's not authentic anymore. Can you get a sense of it?
Yes. So I'm hearing it's like, in the example you gave, at least, somebody, when my body feels something is wrong, probably because it's kind of bringing back something of those old limiting beliefs that it doesn't fit anymore to who I deserve to be or who I am, then I can see it clearly. But then that's the thing. Then you change position here. Then it's like you had to have that feeling in your body, right? So it's like, it's as if the limit was kind of crossed, so you could feel it. And I had that experience recently where I felt, no, that's not okay. So I had exactly that experience lately, and I was kind of wondering, can I have that without, in a way, hurting myself or having to experience those feelings? Is it
possible? The more you embrace that for a while, relationships might show you certain areas of your life where this is going on. The more you kind of expect that and look, and just not go looking for trouble, but, and you can even just sit and do it with a coffee in the morning. Which one of my relationships aren't flowing so well? And what is it that they're asking of me? Or am I giving too much of myself, my time, my energy, my whatever it is? Are they asking for something? You don't even have to wait for the situation to come up. It'll be any relationship that's not flowing very well. Something where somebody never seems to quite work out that you can spend time together. You know, something where it's not flowing, or where you feel diminished afterwards. You just, feel really, need to plug myself back in and charge up now. That's always a sign, a lesser sign than this sort of fiery thing, that I'm not really allowing the fullness of where this relationship wants to go to. Most of that, a lot of that changes by itself when you see clearly, but some places we have these very habitual ways of being with other beings, so that if I do this, if I take on this extra work, even though I don't really want to, they'll like me more, they'll approve of me more. You know, so it's just these old patterns that might still be playing out. So you don't even have to wait for it to show up. You probably have a sense right now of where it's still kind of going on in certain relationships. Sometimes it's with people that we've been closest to, you know, family members even, that it could be very, it's been going on for so long, we don't even recognize it. It's just, so just gently taking a look at that. And then, what would it be like if I loved myself here? What action, just an open question, what action would come out of self-love? I know the action that comes out of self-doubt or whatever it is, unworthiness, but what would come out of self-love? And then that will put you in a different place next time you're with that being, and a spontaneous response will be very different then.
That sounds wonderful. And I hear like this big authenticity, right? That you can, the places or the relationships where you can fully embrace all parts of yourself. That's the kind of indicator.
Yeah.
That's
the function of that. That's the function of the relationships, isn't it? To kind of show you, and then they move into this lovely authenticity where you're not needing anything from each other. But before that, they're going to show you where we're not allowing that. And it gets more and more kind of painful. It's more diminishing to yourself, so that eventually you can't keep doing these behaviors, you know, these ways of being.
Thank you so much, Ellen.
Very helpful question for everyone, I'm sure. Lovely. Okay, so we've got two more. We'll take those, the two. Do you want to sit in the hot seat? Here we go.
I feel like I'm a mastermind. First of all, I just want to say much love to Sergio. Very brave. Continuing on the mother and daughter show.
Seems to be relevant for all of us.
Yeah.
For most of us.
Well, I really like doing the what is the illness and what is it and diving into it. And I've been doing it quite a bit on my own, and I know there's further to go. And I really appreciate doing that. Then when you did it with Bev and you said to her something about, it's quite a long question this, you said something about maybe don't practice it in the room with the doctor, but in an easier place, which I got. I feel like I'm not getting out much at all. This is, as you know, this is quite rare. And I feel like my life is revolving around my daughter's illness at the moment. Our home is full of medication, lots of appointments. So I feel that I fall into the it all happening because it's all happening a lot. And we have people visiting and who want to talk to Becky about it. And I find myself talking about it a lot, the illness and the, how it's affecting her and prognosis. And I feel like that makes it more real. And I want to challenge that. But then also, I also want to ask about the correlation between the diving in and what is the illness and the conscious imagining, which I didn't expect myself to put my hand up, because I feel like that is making the feelings seem real, and I know that. Do you see where I'm going? I lost you.
So there's like three questions there. The first one, as far as I'm aware, was how do I talk about it with someone without making it real?
Yeah.
So we could describe this room, couldn't we? We could describe the color of the curtains, the color of the walls. We could describe what color you're wearing today. And it's a factual thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we can describe the condition of your daughter's body.
Yeah.
Or the illness, and say, this is how it is here.
Yeah.
This level is up, this level is down, you know. Where it gets kind of, I'm making the story behind it real, you'll know, because you begin to feel negative emotion.
Right, okay.
Contraction.
Yeah, I get that.
So we switch then from that. Just describing what is,
yeah,
to a story about what we want. It begins to key in. And as we saw with the conscious imagining and going into the experience of the illness, it's only when we're on the level of stories, beliefs, thoughts, that we begin to feel bad. So clearer than that, it's not my actually describing what's going on that's making it real. It's my entertaining of a particular story around it.
Yeah, I recognize that completely. But as you've said it, I thought, oh my God, that is what I do. Yeah.
And it's okay. We're just seeing it. Yeah. There's no reason why you can't describe this, like, you know, tomorrow it might rain. You know, this, you know, the 50% chance of rain.
Yeah.
We don't get emotional. Well, some people might, but bad example, but you know,
yeah.
It can just be described as a factual thing. So here you're just saying this is where we're at now with her treatment and all of that. And she's at this stage. And you know, we don't know what's going to happen next. And it doesn't have to have any emotion behind. It's not that we're cold about it. Mm-hmm. We don't just have to be pulled down into this negative place every time we talk about it or think about it.
That's helped so much.
I think we got all three questions in one there. I'm kind of...
almost. Could I just push it a bit more? Yeah. That really, really helped because I've seen that happening. There was a friend around the other day and I felt myself becoming this person with this issue. And
Again, it's not the actual situation. No. It's your thoughts about it.
Absolutely, yeah. It was about the correlation between the conscious imagining of, you know, to make myself feel better about something that isn't actually there. There was a bit of that going on.
It isn't actually there, as in it's all emptiness.
Mm.
But we can appreciate how this is all showing up and what this would look like when the expression is as your daughter's life and then your own kind of free time and all of that is expressing as abundance rather than lack. We can appreciate that, can't we?
Yeah.
Still, ultimately, nothing's really happened. And then we get into statement process and conscious imagining are in duality, and that's fine. Sometimes we need a bridge, and it's okay.
Yeah, because I was quite surprised at how beneficial it felt, the conscious imagining. I was really surprised. So yeah, thank you. That's really helpful. Wonderful. Thanks for all your help today. I've asked a lot.
We this is the great thing about these kind of intensives. It's okay. We can come along together. We're all having epiphanies together.
Yeah.
When you ask something in one session, it's got a little time to sit in, and then there's a deeper understanding.
Yeah.
And we can, like the next episode of our favorite show.
I felt like I've been doing tag with them, Bev, so it's been really interesting. Thanks very much.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay, so last but not least, Robert.
Thank you, Helen. It's been a beautiful day. So thank you very much for everything and to everybody, all the wonderful sharings. I wanted to just, Caroline's sharing just now on doubt. I didn't think I was thinking about doubt, but now that you've mentioned it, there's a lot of doubt here. It's just come, woof. You know, so how do you get certainty? That's the question. Where is this? So let's flip it on its head. Because all I can know for sure, I mean, this is something, there's all I know for sure, well, I don't know, existence. There is existence.
Yeah.
And somehow, it's a feeling, it's a sort of, I don't know, it just is, when you kind of relax, it's there. But surely everything beyond that is doubt. I mean, how could you have certainty over anything? I suppose that's... Or you could, is that a question? I don't know.
Yeah, you're doing all
right. So, consciousness is all that has any certainty. But what is that? You know, this exercise at the beginning was beautiful in demonstrating emptiness. You know, when you look at something and go through it, as you say, eventually it comes down to just it's an idea in the mind and something's imbued into it of existence. But how can you know? I mean, and am I everything? What is that? That's there's a mind getting a bit agitated about that question. Like you said, when you answer it, how can you know that you're everything? What is everything? And there could be other everythings you haven't even thought of yet. So are you those everythings too? It kind of feels like a big, scary leap from that nice, peaceful, beautiful feeling of letting consciousness see through emptiness of shapes and objects to jumping to I am everything. Because that's in mind space for me. And it just goes blah. So I don't
sound effects too this time. Yeah. Blah.
Yes, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
So just acknowledging that here I have some doubt. And can that be okay in this moment? Some part of me is not really convinced that I can ever know with such a certainty. And that is where we all start from on this. I'm not saying you're just starting, but now it's becoming, it's poking its head up to say, yeah, let's look at this now. So if you look at the word doubt itself, it really just has this, if we look at what it actually means, it means something like not really convinced, not sure. And the doubting Thomas, you know, in the Bible, you know, the one that really got it, Christ said, you know, the one that needs to actually see it for themselves and believe it, you know, experience it, is the one that's really got it. So that's a natural human impulse when the self takes the shape of a human being to want to know with a certainty, because we've been skating along the surface of this life for so long. This huge desire comes up. I need to know. I want to know with the certainty that the sages had. And I remember that feeling. At the same time came with it, yes, but that's just not possible, really. You can't really know.
That's where conviction. I am. That's the feeling here.
Yeah. And that is totally normal. I had that too. I really felt that the sages had seen something I couldn't, or that they were making it up. At one point, I believed they'd all just made it up. You know, it was all kind of crazy thoughts going on around it. But just understanding for me, myself, that some part of me wants to know and an equal part of me doesn't feel it's possible. So that then became where I could embrace this feeling, not like it, I hated it, but okay, can I embrace this feeling? Is it possible for me to know? Is a much more open place than the assumption that it's not possible. It's more truthful, isn't it? I think I heard you saying in the break that you were atheist at one point, and maybe that was someone else. But
no, I did say that, but that's a label. But
yeah, same for me. And then I realized my own arrogance that actually I can't really say either way from where I was. What I was rejecting was the religious interpretation of the infinite being that I had been given and sort of spoon-fed. So a more intelligent thing to say at that point was agnosticism of I don't actually know. So here we are in the same place here with this. I don't actually know if it's possible for me to know this. Isn't that a better feeling? And then if you can't know this, at least you'll find that out. Here we're having this. One of two things is going to happen if you admit that you don't really know. You'll either find this out with the same conviction as the sages, or you'll find out it's not possible. Either way, you will have gone right through this to the conclusion. It's this kind of halfway house that's holding the energy in a kind of static position where I'm listening to the mind's voice that says, yeah, but it's not really possible. And for me, it was, okay, some beings have done it. It must have been possible for them. Is it really possible for me? And I stayed with that with an intensity. I just actually like to know, is it possible for me? And when I started to embrace that, my mind said, of course it's not. And again, I began to recognize that from mind's perspective, that is true. Mind can't know with a conviction. It can only know about, it can only think about reality. And as I stayed with that, this opening began to happen of, well, if I am the same consciousness of these great sages, it must also be possible for me. It must be. There was a, it's absolutely not possible to maybe it's possible to, if I just keep going with this, it might be possible to, and it just became more and more of a certainty that it is possible for me. Then that thought began to give me some real excitement. It is possible. I began to really believe it and feel it. It's possible. It must be.
There's a lot of excitement. I mean, and the excitement can flip into suffering too. I mean, the flip side of the excitement is suffering. But
can you admit that you don't really know it's not possible? Can you admit that?
I can definitely admit that.
What does that feel like in the body when you admit that?
lighter. Uh-huh. But not knowing is okay. For I kind of, sort of. At one level, it's okay not to know.
Yeah.
And when I,
it's really the mind not okay.
Yeah, it's not okay, sort of. But it's only the mind saying it's not okay. Mm. Kind of. It kind of, is this just mind chatter? Because I mean, in peace and stillness. I mean, there's this consciousness seems so pure and so subtle that it can only ever be one thing.
And even the field, when I tune into the field, it doesn't even need to know, right? It's not trying to figure itself out at all. So can I hang out in the field more and more and more? And then when this thing that wants to know pops up, all I have to do, really, this isn't about knowing with utter conviction that you are the self. This is before that. This is about where I'm believing this idea that it's not possible. That's really what's holding this whole thing together. And of course, you know, we've had these beautiful examples of the Buddha and Krishna and people, all these wonderful sages and saints that seem to glow in the dark. I've had all these great epiphanies. And I look at myself in comparison to that. Well, of course, I can't know what they know. And, you know, that's just so ingrained within us, isn't it? That enlightenment.
But your wisdom is extraordinary, Helen.
Yeah, exactly. So, there it is. You see, it's not for the common person. There it is right there. It's not possible for me. It's possible for them, but not for me. And that idea within each of us. Can you imagine what would happen on the planet if every spiritual seeker that wanted to wake up stopped believing that one thought? What would happen overnight? So here is life giving you the opportunity to say, here's what you're still believing. And what if that's not true? Hanging out as much as you can in the place where you don't even need to know. And then looking at it when it comes up. Well, is that true, actually? Like anything else. I'm only going to suffer where I'm believing a thought. And of course, I would believe that this isn't possible for me. This was probably the slowest and hardest part of my awakening, where I had to really look at this, because boy, did I believe it wasn't possible. You know, I made an Olympic sport out of it. I was gold medalist out of being certain that this wasn't.
I guess it's unworthiness, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. Unworthiness and habit. Thinking of myself in smaller ways that have just been so ingrained. But if I am the field, can it be possible for me to not find out? If I am unlimited infinite power already and not actually this limited being, theoretically even, can that be so, that it can be hidden from me, not revealed to me? What could obscure that? And here's some possibility opening up, isn't it? Here's how you get up to a believability of it's got to happen. It's got to happen from it's just no way this is going to occur.
Thank you.
Is that enough? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Smiling anyway. So that's something wonderful. Lovely. Okay. So that's a wonderful place to finish with our questions today. Just to kind of wrap this up before we finish the session, it's been a long day, but it's been so powerfully amazing. I hope you can see from what's been coming up that we're all in the same boat together, and we're all helping. Ram Dass used to say so beautifully, we're just walking each other home, which I think is just, you know, a little bit of hand holding and encouraging. It's just so beautiful, isn't it? Metaphorically, but also all of that. And I'll finish with where I started, which is you're already in the middle of it. You're already way too far in to ever go. Once awakening has started, once the urge arises to know what you are, cannot be stopped. And I just again want to say thank you for all of your participation in this, because everyone's question is everyone's question, isn't it? Meaning you might not have consciously known, like Robert was just saying, that there's something in me about this, but when you hear someone else speaking about it, it shows us where there's something still inside. So I hope that you believe in yourself a little bit more. I hope that you're kinder to yourself because of this time together. we're all so good at being kind to each other. Can we leave this session with some wonderful memories, some higher vibrations, some much more allowing of the lower ones, also known as love, self-love, by the way, and a willingness to move forward in more kindness with ourselves. How about that? How about just kind of leading with that for the next few days in your life and see where that takes you? And it's just going to allow the self to move to the forefront, capital S, and the older egoic ways of looking at yourself to diminish. So I'm always kind of finished these days with this kind of wow, you know, what just happened that was awesome. And also this stunned kind of disbelief that it got better, even though I know every time we do this, it gets even better. And, you know, how wonderful this is that we all have this time together. Before I forget, there will be an email coming out soon at some point with a link to a page, the recordings on that you can watch again if you want to. We're going to try our best to make sure Claire doesn't try and upload them all tonight, but she probably will. So we'll see. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for being such a rich addition to this community. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.